Mr. Speaker, good morning, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Brad and Dan. How are you?
Good,
Mr. Speaker. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How's the coaching coming?
Coaching is coming well. They had the selection for the high school all-star game last night over at Rensselaer Field. A couple of my players made it, so it was an exciting night.
Well, you've done a tremendous job with those kids, I'll tell you right now.
That's one of my passions, Brad. You know, veterans and coaching. I know you and I have crossed paths many times on the veterans issues and coaching the kids. It really does make a difference.
And for people who don't know, the Speaker of the House is the football coach at Berlin High School.
That's right. So, and a good one.
Yeah, they have a great program there. Joe, I know we're hearing a lot about sales taxes, budget deficits. It's on the front page of the Hartford Current today. What can you say about that?
Well, the state of Connecticut finds itself in a unique position to reinvent itself and change itself around a little bit. These constant budgets of deficits and austerity budgets aren't helping the state. So I really see it as an opportunity to work with both the Republicans and the executive branch to form a budget, a blueprint, a five-year plan for the state of Connecticut to have renewed economic growth and a lot of workforce development. So challenges, yes, but great opportunities.
And more taxes.
I don't know about taxes. The thing I've been saying all along is I won't take anything off the table. Too many years we go into budget negotiations saying, oh, I'll never agree to this, I'll never agree to that, and drawing lines in the sand. I really want both Democrats and Republicans to take the D and the R after their name and throw it away, put on C for Connecticut, and just come together with our best ideas to see how we can move forward. I think taxes for all is a last resort, but let's leave it on the table. Let's have the discussion. If there's things that we think are worthwhile to pay for in the area of workforce development or education, then we'll find ways to pay for it. But let's make sure it's a priority first.
You know, I gave Representative Guerrero my Dan plan to give to you. You raised the sales tax to 7.99%, reduce the state income tax on the three lower tiers, and do some other things, and you might be able to solve the problem, Mr. Speaker.
Well, and you know, your plan is gaining traction. I didn't only get it from Tony. I know Jason Rojas has talked about it. Tim Larson has talked about it. So, you know, I think it's an idea that's definitely going to be discussed.
Tim Larson is talking about it?
I believe he did mention it.
Yeah, I think people, if our lawmakers will level with the people of Connecticut and say, look it, this is the mess we're in. We're not going to get into political philosophy as to how we got here, but here's how we're going to get out of it. It's going to require raising a sales tax, but we may be able to help you out on the income tax side. I think people would buy into it.
Well, they want to see a plan. I've spent the last 2 years traveling the state talking to business owners. It really happened. I went to a CBIA executive board meeting, and I said, I don't know enough about what you do, so invite me to your business, I'll come. So over the past few years, I visited small, large hospitals, manufacturers, IT companies. And what they keep saying to me is our businesses are based on business plans. Our business plans are from a year to 5 years to 10 years. What frustrates us the most about the state of Connecticut is you go from year to year to year, and it seems like you're putting out a new fire every year. You can't articulate a plan to us. And it's the same thing the taxpayers are saying. When are you going to get your fiscal house in order? Isn't just about the deficit. Is coming up with a plan to address things years to come so we're not always putting out fires. That's what I'd like to do this session.
Joe, you know, one of the things that is never discussed, we hear it all the time. And it's state employees. They do a great job. We're not putting them down. But some of the things that they get raises for, people say, what is this all about? Nobody wants to take an in-depth look at some of these areas as far as retirements and how they figure this in for retirement, which nobody in the private sector gets. Can't somebody at least take a look at this?
Yeah, so it's my understanding that I'm not involved in the negotiations as a legislative leader. It really is something we see on the tail end. So the governor is talking to the state employee unions. As you know, they did the agreement in 2011, which altered the benefits. And it's not necessarily the frontline workers. Those folks are working really hard. If you go to the DSS offices and you see the line around the corner and these intake workers are trying to help people, But I believe there are layers of bureaucracy within the state government, that you have two supervisors to two workers. You have regional managers that are managing three or four employees. That's the type of restructuring we need to look at. The benefits package, yes, and I understand that the governor's looking at that. While all of us can argue that a pension, which is the average state employee's pension of around $32,000, isn't overly expensive. But when you hear these outlier stories of police chiefs and other ones with the overtime and it's a $150,000 pension, I think that drives us all crazy.
Joe, you know something? You are the first one, and you're Speaker of the House, the first one, in an answer to my question, to come up with what you just said. And if that is some of the thought, I think that we can do something, as Dan was saying, that can really get this state back where it should be.
I really would like to, and I was with the Hartford Current editorial board, and I mentioned, and I've said it before, but the way I said it, I've taken a little heat for it, but I genuinely mean it. I have no further political aspirations. I love my town of Berlin in Southington. I love serving the 30th District, and I love being Speaker of the House. But I'm not going to make decisions over the next year and 9 months to further my political career. In my opinion, I have 2 years to work with everybody that's willing to come to the table to move Connecticut in the right direction, to do things that'll put us on a firm financial footing, to grow jobs, to have workforce development. And I'm willing to take all of my political capital and my whole political career and sacrifice it to do the right thing for the next 2 years. I'm hoping everybody else that's at the table is willing to do the same thing.
Talking with Speaker of the House, Representative Joe Arasimowicz. He is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Joe, what about tolls? We had Representative Guerrera in here the other day. Where does that stand?
We need tolls. Clearly, with the federal government funding for our transportation infrastructure waning away in 2020, our special transportation fund is going to be almost empty. Some real needs. You look at the viaduct in 84. You look at the Mixmaster in Waterbury. You look at some of the raised bridges and roads through the valley. We have some serious problems here in the state of Connecticut, and we don't want to be in Minnesota to where we're trying to react after a bridge collapses. Tolls are a way to get there. We can put tolls not only at the border but throughout the state in different avenues, whether it be congestion tolling or other tolls, and we can catch these out-of-state drivers. Each and every day, I hear from my constituents that they drive to New York, they drive to Boston, they pay tolls, but yet we let the Boston, New Yorkers, Rhode Islanders, New Jersey folks come through Connecticut, cause congestion on our roads, and they travel for free. It's a basic fairness argument, and we need the money to build up our roads.
What about, because some people might not know, you're Speaker of the House. Is it your job to decide which bills that go to the floor of the House then come up for a vote?
Well, I'm really lucky. I have Representative Matt Ritter from Hartford as my majority leader, and I really see it as a partnership. So we work together. We discuss all the bills. We get the staff together. I consistently bring other legislators in. I guess former speakers really were the ones that decided it all. But I'm more of a collaborative worker. I want everybody at the table. I want to make sure we're going in the right direction. So I can honestly say this session and next is a team effort between the majority leader and myself and the members of my caucus. A lot of my answers that I give to you each and every day are based upon the caucuses I've been having with my members. So I'm putting forth the caucus agenda, not necessarily my own.
How do you get along overall, Joe, with the other side of the aisle?
Very well, very well. I saw Len yesterday. Len was in my office. We were talking about budget ideas. Themis and I get together once a week and have lunch at the Capitol, either her office, my office, just to talk about general caucus running. Senator Marty Looney and I sat down yesterday afternoon. I sit down with the governor. I really can say I get along with all of them. Everybody that's elected, the governor, to the minority leader, Senate president, we all got elected to help people. In these past 6 years, it's been very difficult on us all. None of us necessarily like what we're doing and having to cut in these austerity budgets. But we've kept the sense of community towards the state of Connecticut. And the more we talk, the better off the state will be.
You know, I want to get back to the sales tax for just a moment, because I think, Joe, people need to understand if something is not done in this area, the cost is going to be passed along to the municipalities and people's property taxes could go up.
Yeah, that's the ultimate flaw in our system. If we reduce municipal expenditures, the only ability they have to raise money is to raise the property taxes. And what happens there is you get a person who's lived in their house for 30 or 40 years, bought the house many years ago for $20,000. The assessment continues to go up. The house may be paid off, but what they have is comparable to what their mortgage was when they bought it because of the property tax, if not even higher. So it's a difficult tax. It's a difficult tax for folks on fixed incomes. But the sales tax is more of a user fee. But we have to make sure it goes to the municipalities and not into the general fund to where then we don't live up to our obligations. My caucus has told me any additional revenues we have this year have to be dedicated funding sources going to the exact reasons why we raised it, or they won't even consider it.
Joe, in ending our conversation, I hope that you will become a part of our program in the morning, because as long as you are the speaker, we want to talk to somebody like you.
Well, I really appreciate that. And guys, I thank you for what you do, keeping the public of the state of Connecticut informed and bringing folks on here, and I'm happy to be there. And Brad, thank you for all you do for veterans.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker.
All right, guys, have a great day. Thank you.
You too.